You want to save on the most popular PodNuts products? Go to our new page at podnuts.com/deals. And while you're there, get on the PodNuts hot list, where you're going to be sent exclusive weekly deals. You're going to get the latest PodNuts news, so you're in the loop. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 338. The show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs, technicians, whatever you want to call them. Guys who fix computers. That's what we do here, and that's what we talk about, and that's what we try to help you guys with if you like to do that yourself. And it all works out when we do it that way. It's a good time. So first off, I just want to make a quick announcement. You guys might know Eric Ardini from SiliconWrench.com. He has been on the show several times. He's also been pretty much a regular on Android App Addicts. He's going to be filling in for me hosting this show for the month of January starting today. And he's with us on the call now. So I'm going to introduce him. And then we have also a special guest technician who's on the show. And we get rolling here. We'll do all the introductions and we'll get into some tech. First off, Eric, how are you? Eric A.
I'm good. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to host tonight and give it a try with another new guest.
Yeah, I hope you have fun with it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good time.
You could do whatever you want to do with the show, Eric. It's drive it wherever you want to drive it.
Oh yeah. Okay. We'll take it easy. Keep it on the same road we're usually on for tonight. We'll go crazy later.
Okay.
We don't want to steer it right off the road right off the bat. It's four weeks in January.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. Got to give it some time. Good call. Also joining us, our technician for the day from itconflict.com is, I just put Eric S up in his video, but it's Eric Sanchez. How you doing, Eric?
Doing good. Debuted show. I'm a little nervous. I've only seen a handful of shows, so I'm excited to be on, and thanks, guys, for having me on.
Absolutely. No need to be nervous. And if you are nervous, it literally goes away in 2 minutes. Trust me. Did I pronounce your name right, or is it Sanchez?
It's however you want to pronounce it. Depends on the region of, I guess, the United States you're in, but I would just go with Sanchez. That's fine.
Okay. I always go with what the person themselves said, how they pronounce it. That's the way I always go. Okay. Well, like I said, Eric's going to be hosting for today, so I'm going to turn it over to him. He knows the drill. He's been through it. And I'm going to be on standby and probably chime in from time to time if need be. But take it away, guys. Eric, it's all yours.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Hey, Eric, can you tell me a little bit about your shop?
Yeah, so IT Conflict, I've been in business since late December 2007. I started off like any other of these guys. It was a kind of, I was laid off from work. I needed supplemental income. I decided to go with posting free ads online, you know, just Craigslist, using those different outlets that are available to every technician that wants to advertise his business. But It worked out. It actually turned from something that was supposed to be small into actually doing a sole proprietorship and getting my name registered and now having a DBA. And it's kind of grown since then with having a website and hiring consultants and people, you know, having steady clientele. And it's actually worked out for me quite a bit.
That's great. Yeah. You know, I started mine about the same time in 2007. Now, how did you do on Craigslist? Did you have any horror stories or anything like that? Or was it all pretty good for you?
You know, Craigslist was, and I don't want to speak ill of the, you know, of Craigslist, because it's a good website for, you know, if you're looking for something, I guess, to buy or whatever, but and you're shopping for different services. It's just, you have to filter the different kinds of, you know, technicians you're going to find in computer services, because the market in Austin is oversaturated with IT professionals, and, you know, everyone's just posting on there, and pretty much anybody that knows how to, you know, swap a hard drive now is deciding to charge for their services. And I was one of the ones that decided to go on there, and the different clients I picked from it were, I would either have a great call and it was worth the 2 minutes it took me to post the ad, or other times I'd have just a terrible call and I hated it and it was boring and I didn't want to do it again. But overall, I'd say for the most part, it was a good experience posting on there. And I still do every now and then.
Okay, still do. Is there anything that you wanted to bring up tonight about your business?
Well, what I'm getting from is, you know, I'm pretty active. I'm on the IRC chat daily, and I spend, you know, at least 3-4 hours on their day helping, you know, contributing and also getting just loads of information from it. But what I've noticed the topic coming up a lot is people want to talk about their websites and optimizing their sites for search engine ranking and doing the on-page SEO and building an effective AdWords campaign. And, you know, it's very difficult because we want to advertise our business. We want to do everything we can, but it's very, very hard to be on the first page of Google unless you know what you're doing and with the proper effort. So that's one thing I wanted to go over today.
Okay. I've looked at your website and I have to say, man, I am jealous. Your website looks amazing. Did you do that yourself?
No, actually. So what I did was I used the content management system, the CMS called WordPress, and through GoDaddy hosting, I installed the WordPress. I deployed WordPress. I set up a MySQL database, linked that to it. I purchased a theme online through themeforest.net. I spent maybe $35 on it, man, and got loads of support, really with little skill in HTML, little bit of CSS, and maybe Google a couple PHP edits. You can very easily create your own site, get it launched up to date, and it literally works for me. I mean, it's just been an amazing thing.
I noticed you have a lot of actual content on your site, too. It looks like you're updating it quite often with your recent posts and little tips and stuff for people. That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get comfortable in front of the camera. I'm starting to do some, I guess, video posts on there. Every time I do a blog post, I'll link a video on it. That's something I'm recently doing. But also, don't get confused. I'd say maybe 20% of those posts that I'm doing are aggregated content. They're content that posts that I find off other blogs that I find to be interesting, and it's good to share knowledge. So I go on my own site and I'll post the article and I'll put a go to source, giving the original author credit that way. I mean, but it's all about just linking and building a good circle between building a network of just good information.
Yeah, I think, I know the linking to other people's things like that, though. But if you're a new customer and you're looking for, a computer repair shop around Austin, Texas, though, you go to a website that looks like this and, you've got all this stuff to look at and maybe a quick answer to a problem that they have just sitting there. That means a lot, I think, to a customer. Now, on SEO, did you do anything special there for search engine optimization for your website?
It's funny that you say that, man, because I have literally spent months on it. I mean, it takes forever to get any kind of decent ranking, just starting from on-page. There's so much to do. You know, you have on-page SEO, you have, all your off-page backlinking, you're creating your link circle, which I'll talk about later on, and submitting your site to different search engines and indexes. There's just so much work behind it. And a lot of it kind of gets put on the backlog because a lot of us, we're more concerned about the jobs we have in front of us. But in order to effectively build a good, good new business development, I guess, campaign, you want to start and use your website the way it should.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, me included, we kind of build a website, get it out there, and then it's back to the bench, But that doesn't grow your business much doing it that way.
It's funny because if you talk to any of the guys on the chat, I've literally changed my site. I don't know how many times. It's every time. Well, at least recently, the past 5 days, I haven't really touched it. But that's funny because I'll go on there and update the slider, or I'll do something, a piece of code or a picture I didn't like. But yeah, man, I love it. I'm always tweaking it. I'm always working on my site, and it's fun. But it really does help out.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing, it helps. I mean, I learned a little bit back with Dreamweaver, and this looks a lot cleaner than anything I could have done. But I think it helps to have like the WordPress. And once the thing I've noticed about website building and things like that is, if you're in it every day, it's fairly easy to do some changes. But if you get away from it for a while, then you got to relearn it. You have to relearn everything again.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
So the thing about the WordPress community, and which I love, because I've used other CMSs, I've used Drupal, I've used Joomla, which I wasn't too turned on about, but WordPress, it has a huge community of just contributors. I mean, there's so many developers in all different countries that are all willing to help. On the Freenode server, there's Pound WordPress, which is amazing free help. And if you have a question on how to do something, or, you know, a simple HTML to a difficult call to action PHP script, then, you know, you can find the help and, you know, either by looking at WordPress.com, WordPress.org, or going to pound WordPress on Freenode, on the Freenode server.
Yeah, that, those things are very helpful. I've never even been to any of that stuff yet. I've got a basic website. But what yours looks like, man, is amazing compared to mine. Now, how are you doing in your page rankings as far as Austin goes, now that you've done a lot of this work? How's it going?
Locale, I'm ranking fairly first page for, I'd say, a handful of keywords, which is what you're going to get. There's three different types of organic ranking. There you have your organic, which is the below the paid ads and below the below Google Maps, and then you start off with your organic listing there, and then you have the Google Maps, which everybody wants to be on because everyone wants to see that you're on the front page, you're on the first listing of Google Maps, and you have loads of reviews. But for the most part, I'm ranking on the first page of Google for a handful of keywords. And nationally, which I thought was funny, if you Google remotes, let me actually find it here. If you Google nationwide remote support, I'm on the first page, which I thought was pretty amazing. But that's nationally. Wow. So I know. I was impressed with that. Not to talk about myself.
Well, that's okay. That's what you're here for. Do you do a lot of remote support too?
I do. I do Austin, Texas. I do Dallas. I do Houston. I'm kind of in the region here, mainly in Texas. I've had a couple calls in Colorado, and I got fun with it, and I posted an ad in Denver, and I got a couple calls from it. But you know, that's the direction I see my business going. It's a lot of overhead, at least when you are going on site. You know, you have gas prices that are going up. You have tools that you got to lug around with you. And if you want to expand your business and not plateau at a certain point, you're going to notice that there's only a certain amount of hours a day that you can actually knock out customers. And after that, you're really just, you're spent for time. You have no other, you can't expand your business outwards. So I see the business, at least my business model, going more into a remote support direction. Yeah.
And do you want to go into some programs or things that help you do the remote support that you use?
You know, it all depends on the client, really. I use, of course, TeamViewer. If you go to my site, itconflict.com, go to services and nationwide remote support, you'll see that I have a quick download for TeamViewer for each different platform on Windows and Linux, and I believe I have Mac OS on there as well. But TeamViewer is a cheap, free, awesome, well, if you're using it for business, you're going to spend $700. But TeamViewer is great. If you have a client that wants more managed services, that's going to be calling you for a lot more things, Log Me In is just amazing. The control panel, just the organization of it is just awesome. So I'd say either TeamViewer or Log Me In. Yeah, definitely.
So you use them both then?
I use them both depending on the client.
I've used Log Me In. I've looked at TeamViewer. I've never really used it, but yeah, Log Me In is amazing. It's really, I really have been happy with times I've used it.
And you have Crossloop too. I mean, Crossloop is another popular program that I think that people use, that I've seen use. But me, I just stick with what I know, and that's Log Me In and TeamViewer.
Yeah, I've probably tried a handful of different ones myself, and I've never warmed up to any of them 100% yet. Dude, well, back to your website. How do you handle a person paying you for an on-site or a remote visit like that?
So for remote support, normally when, I guess the process is when they call in, I'll speak to the customer, I'll get some information on them, and they'll actually go to my site. And from my site, you can, for the most part, they'll go to support and then click on new support ticket. And what this does is it helps me kind of solve the problem, or I guess help my customers from problem to resolution. And it provides a database of all the different support tickets they had issues. It stays up online so they can go on here at any time. And if the same issue occurs, they can go on my site, type in their ticket ID and email, and all the information will be there. So the first thing would be is they submit a support ticket. Two, I get assigned, it's assigned to a technician, which is in this case me. and then I'll give them a call and set up a remote session and go from there.
Now, saying the technician is, as far as you said you have some consultants that work under you. How are you handling that? How do you do that?
So I'll do my own shopping on Craigslist sometimes, or depends on the different, depends on the project really. But if it's something that's local and I need to do like a system drop where a new company came on board and they have 30 machines they want to set up and a couple servers, then yeah, I'll hire two consultants. I'll pay them as contractors, and they'll go in with me, and I'll sort of play foreman, I guess, or if that's the right word, but general contractors. Oh, okay. What I'll do. Yeah. I'll be the lead guy on site, and they'll answer to me. They'll represent my company. They do a non-disclosure agreement, all that work, but it's worth it because you can knock out those bigger jobs that way.
Yeah, then you're ready to handle any situation that way too. And then also those businesses are going to talk to other businesses and say, hey, yeah, this guy got us set up nice. You know, he had his guys. Now, do you have an actual physical shop where you're at in Austin?
At the moment, no, I don't. I moved into an office for literally 2 months, and I just couldn't do it. No one was showing up, really. I had terrible signage. It was such a big waste of money. I was spending, $600-$700 to have this tiny 14x14 room, and no one ever went. So I couldn't justify the cost. I had to get rid of it. And yeah, I'm operating out of my home, and it works great.
Yeah, I think a lot of technicians, myself included, my front part of my house is my office. This is what you're looking at here in the video. But this is my bench over to the right, and when you walk in the front door, I've got a huge counter where people drop their stuff off. And I've always wondered if I was going to pull the plug and actually, rent a place down the street from here, and I haven't done it yet. And some people have really good luck with it, with just having the walk-in traffic, and then a lot of people, don't have so much. Now, do you think do you do a lot of on-site work then too?
I do. But the way I've actually set it up is I have a drop-off location, and it's different to where about a year ago I was actually having to run around and telling customers, oh, I'll either go pick your computer up and fix it within 24 to 48 hours, or I'll fix it on site. So I noticed that in order to get more out of my day, out of my 8 hours that I'm out in the field, I decided to set up a box with one of these, with pack mail, where customers can go in and they can drop their computer off, and it's covered under the insurance there with the postal service, or with the pack mail, which is the carrier. But so customers can either have me go on site, pick it up. They can either pay me by the hour, or they can drop their systems off here at this drop off location, and I pick them up at the end of the day, fix them overnight, and then drop them back off. So it kind of lets me knock out more computer systems.
Pack mail, that's like a UPS FedEx store kind of thing that you have in town?
Exactly, yeah. It's just like FedEx.
Oh, okay. That's really neat. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring?
Yeah, so I don't know if I want to get too much into this, but going back to the websites, I think that it's, you need to have a good site. It's great to have a site that works, and that works for you in the sense that you have great information on it. You have a support ticket system on it, because all of my customers, they absolutely love it. And I've serviced a little over maybe 1,200 clients in the past 3-4 years, but every single one of my clients that's had a chance to, submit a support ticket and kind of go through that with me, they love it. I mean, it's awesome because it'll eliminate the phone calls or the unneeded emails. They'll just submit a support ticket. I get a text on my phone. I immediately know so-and-so needs help, and I'll set up an appointment immediately. So it's a good way to streamline your support requests from your clients.
So that's just one more way of them getting a hold of you to get their computer fixed?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It works a lot better that way, rather than having to answer the phone if you're on site with a client, and it just gets disrespectful, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you there. I know what you're saying. I tell you what, by looking at your website, you're not going to think that you're a one-man operation, at all. You've got everything. You look like it's a huge, like you're a Best Buy or something, you know, huge. Well, I wouldn't say that though. That's kind of mean. I wouldn't want to put you down like that. But no, you've really got it together.
I appreciate that, man. I'm trying to build my business to where I'm actually forming as of January 2012 an LLC, so I'll be a limited liability corporation, I think it is. But with that formation, I'll be able to – it'll open up more opportunities for business loans, bank loans, or even just finding a buyer for my business. And I'm not saying that I want to sell yet, but if everything goes well and depending on the direction my site goes – if it takes off, maybe I'll keep it on board. If it's kind of stays at a stagnant rate, then I'll probably just get rid of it or see what I can do to get it sold. But that's what I'm trying to do right now.
So the main reason for your LLC would be for marketing it later down the road for merges or sale? Or is there any other advantages for an LLC in your eyes?
In my opinion, yes. Banks will take you more seriously. People will take you more seriously if you're an LLC. Not only that, you're covering yourself in the sense that you can't get sued when you're on site, not at least not directly. Right. And, you know, if you get sued, either way, your business is going down, not you. And as a sole proprietor, you're right. You miss that insurance there. So.
And then also as an LLC, the liability part, that's big too. You know, if you mess something up, as far as banks go though, do you feel like you want to take out a loan to maybe buy a building or something maybe, or is there, do you have any reason or any ideas with the banks as far as being an LLC?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, business was great. When I first started off, it was just amazing. I was getting a great income. I loved it. I had my own hours. It was an amazing experience. But then you kind of reach a point where, like I said earlier, you plateau. And it's steady income. It's stable. But you're not getting any more. And we have to remember that this isn't just a hobby. This isn't just, or at least for me, it's not just a hobby. It's a business. It's my primary source of income. And I need to, from a business aspect, I need to see how and plan how I'm going to get past this point. How am I going to grow my business? So, and the direction I'm taking is by forming an LLC, maybe looking for a partner, and maybe hiring my first technician and seeing where it goes with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big step. That'll definitely help you. If we go back to your website, you were talking earlier about link circles and other ways of optimization for search engines. Did you want to go into some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to my site, you'll see that I'm backlinking with a couple other sites here. If you go to resources, then click on links. I don't have too many on here, but these are just requests that I've gotten in from different people on Podnuts and a couple other ones that are unrelated. But when you're creating a link circle, and by the way, my page rank, my Google page rank is a page rank 3, which is, it's actually not too bad. Most, I think, that, I don't know the exact percentage, but 40% of, or 30% of most sites are either a 0 or a 1, which Google kind of grades on a scale from 0 to 10. So being a page rank 3 is not too bad at all. And that's just by doing the link circle, asking people to link back to my website in return. I'm doing the exact same thing.
Oh, okay. So that just benefits everybody on their Google scores then?
Well, for me, at least when I was starting off, I was a rank 0, so I wanted to link with everybody. You know, you just want everyone to point to you. But when you become to a page rank 3, 4, and 5, you really want to be careful with who you're linking to, because it might backfire. Their rank 0 might link to you and it might just look bad on your site. So you have to, at first when I was starting off, I was linking everybody, but now you have to be careful and decide who you want to link with,
So a guy with a website with a 0 could pull yours down then, but having you have like a sort of a bad link then, or a non-usable link that's not popular.
You'd be helping him more than he'd be helping you. And I actually ran into an experience where a not safe for work website was linking to me and it just looked really bad. So I requested So I requested for them to take it down, and they finally did 30 days later. And luckily, we didn't have to do a subpoena or anything like that. But I'm glad they did it the easy way. So you got to be careful with it.
One of your links is you got a link to get involved, Water Essential for Life. Do you have a personal affiliation with that group? Is there something there? Or how did you get started with that?
I'll talk about who my charity or who Charity Water is. I don't want to get too in-depth in how I know them, but Charity Water is an organization that basically provides water throughout the world, the most basic function of life. And you can create a campaign on there. And if you want to do your part and help people out, I tell my clients, you know, just go and, you know, give a dollar, give $5, or take it off from my bill and I'll go do it myself and I'll add on there. But yeah, it's just a little personal affiliation that I did that I thought was going to be something I can contribute back. So
That's good.
It wasn't for a link. It was more just to help out.
Oh, yeah. So what kind of businesses are you servicing, and what kind of work do you have coming in? Do you have a lot of, like, let's say, laptops or desktops? Is there some specialty that you've got a niche for there?
I would say it's a mixture of everything. I'm getting everything from laptops to desktops, Macs, Linux. I had a Linux the other day, or a couple weeks ago. Windows, of course. I do get some businesses where I go on site and they have a server deployed, and you know, it's a small business network, but nothing over 20 nodes, nothing that's too crazy, nothing too advanced. Not that I couldn't handle it or I couldn't have the consultant work with me on it, but it's just a mixture of residential and small to medium-sized businesses.
What kind of percentage do you think you're doing for residential to businesses about?
I'd say about 60-40, 60 on the residential and 40 on the business.
That's good. Now, sometimes you've got those consultants that you're working with at different jobs. Sometimes do you have some of those guys maybe have an expertise that that you might not be so experienced in too? Have you had any of that?
Cisco guys, anybody with an NA, CCNT, NA, CCNT, I'm sorry, CCNP, these guys, Cisco guys, when you're working in a larger scale network and it gets a little more complicated and you're deploying an ASA server or something, or I'm sorry, an ASA router switch, anything to do with Cisco, you probably want to call one of these guys on site, because if it's above your level of expertise, it's better to have someone on board that can either show you and return client. So it works out for both parties.
I guess that's kind of what being in a large metropolitan area like you are helps out a little bit there. I don't know if I would be able to find one around here to help me with something like that, or if I would even get the call on a job like that anyway.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
You got to use this website, and I want to mention it here because I use it quite a bit, freelancer.com. And what Freelancer is if you want to find someone that's available for work that specializes in PHP or SEO or HTML or CSS or JavaScript or, you know, some kind of markup language, coding language, or some level of expert or something that you're not quite efficient with, you can go on freelancer.com, set a bid for $20-$30, and have at least 20-30 guys come back and tell you, hey, I can do the work for you. That's, by the way, how I got my logo just built a couple days ago, by going to...
I'm not that creative. Yeah, that's cool. I like. Now, okay, so the freelancer.com, I can see with the SEO, but you're right, you get some local guys too that could go on site with you off of that too?
No, not off of that. Local guys are either guys that I bump heads with, or I use a website called meetup.com, which I don't know if you guys have heard of, but you set up a meetup group, you all go chit chat, have a cup of coffee, and kind of just bump heads with other people in the industry. So you eventually get some numbers and call those guys and say, hey, are you looking to make some extra cash? And for the most part, they're all not, no one's going to turn down money. So at least not in this economy. Yeah.
All right. Did you have another thing that you wanted to bring tonight?
Other than going over SEO, I know that a couple other guys had some questions on running an AdWords campaign, and Google offers a lot of different online services from AdWords to AdSense to Google Analytics, to Webmaster Tools, and a lot of guys aren't using these. And I want to stress that it's important to use these different Google tools for us, because has helped my business out a lot, at least with new business and getting people to pick up the phone and call me. So,
do you have an AdWords account then that you use along with your good page ranking?
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah. Absolutely. It's good to show up organically and it's good to be on the top there, but overall, some people are just not going to hit the scroll wheel and scroll down a couple, millimeters or whatever. They're not going to scroll down the page. So they're going to see the very first link and they're going to call that person. And yeah, you know, you're probably paying about $4 to $5 a click and it gets expensive. But if you spend $20 that day and you make $300, it's definitely a justified expense. And I think that to expand your business and to pick up more clientele, it's definitely worth it. I had a lot of mixed reviews on AdWords and a lot of people that didn't like it. And it works for me.
I like it. It brings in some work. And in fact, I had one last month that the guy actually said, you know, I saw your AdWords ad, but I clicked on your organic link anyway. I'm like, oh, thanks. That was kind of nice.
Should have taken, I guess, $3-4 off the bill or something. I don't know what you're paying per click, but.
Yeah, I gave him a good deal. It was kind of neat. It was a candle factory, and it was the most amazing smelling computer I've had in my shop. It was really cool.
Yeah, but, you know. Not just AdWords, man. There's Google Analytics. If you're interested on your website and if you want to get more involved with your site and have it work for you, you got to install Google Analytics. You got to see where the traffic's coming from, what pages are hitting, what articles or posts that you're posting that are getting the most traffic in. And Google Analytics kind of helps you determine what kind of content to post on your site. And what brings in traffic, because again, the more traffic you're getting, the more Google finds you attractive, the more higher you're going to rank in the search engines. That's the easy formula, I guess.
The Google Analytics now, is that just some code that you paste into your HTML then to get that started for you?
It depends on the kind of site you have. If you have a WordPress deployment, you would post it before the /head section of the header.php file. If it's a HTML site, you know, something that's strictly static, then you can post it pretty much on every one of your pages in the footer or the header. But I'm sorry, in the header. But mainly, yeah, it's a piece of code that you're going to post in the header. It tracks all the different types of visitors, where they're coming from, what countries, what states, what city, what browser they use. And it gets extremely detailed, so you know exactly what kind of people are coming to your site. And if you're trying to hit like a remote support client base, then it's going to be amazing for you.
I'm sorry. So when you get that pasted in there, then how do you access your information from that?
Just going to, what is it? google.com/analytics. It's all tied in with your Google account. You'll be able to see your exact campaign. You'll be able to see all your traffic monitoring information. You'll be able to filter exactly what you're looking for. And it's an easy to use interface. So if you're not using it, you've got to be with Google Analytics.
What other Google tools do you suggest? You got AdWords, Analytics. What's another one that a lot of people might be missing, you think?
Google Webmaster Tools. And Google Webmaster Tools is, it goes a step beyond kind of helping you manage your site, because our sites are not perfect. At least I've never met a site that was built perfect. We're going to have broken links. We're going to have things, crawl errors, or a sitemap that Google didn't like. So what Google Webmaster Tools does for us is that it kind of puts it and tells us, hey, Google doesn't like this. Google doesn't like this sitemap. Resubmit it in XML format or resubmit in HTML format. But if you go onto Webmaster Tools, just launch it. Just start using it. Go to YouTube, type in how to use Webmaster Tools, and there's literally hundreds of different videos of people giving just positive information about it and how to use it.
Huh. So did it find quite a bit of stuff for you that you had to go back and maybe make little changes to?
It still has things, man. I mean, does I have it? Like... Yeah, it's I haven't recently submitted I had some changes on my site and I haven't submitted the sitemap, so it has my sitemap as being incorrect. But You can also set whether you want a preference of either a www or no www. So,
oh, that's cool, though.
Well, that's good for ranking. You don't want Google to get confused and think that that's two different websites. So, and that's, again, going back to SEO work.
I also, on your website, I see that you do some smartphone repair. Have you gotten into that much?
Not much, honestly. I've maybe gotten about...
Yeah.
It's there to say that I can provide the support because I know someone in town that I can hire that can work with. I've myself replaced a couple, like a screen on an Evo and a couple of easy things. If it's something that I can find a tutorial on, I'll feel comfortable doing it. But is it my forte or is it something that I do day in and day out? No, it's not. It's not something that I do.
I just recently went to the Verizon store they just opened up down the street, and I've had one iPhone 4 job from that, just dropping off my business card because they don't fix anything there. But yeah. You know, it's easy money usually.
Well, it's good to network with them, man. I mean, go into those shops if they strictly do phone repair and say, "Hey guys, let's work something out. Here's my business card. If I have a client that's looking for a phone repair, I'll be more than happy to send them your way." And you do the same thing. And a lot of small businesses like that kind of networking. They like to know that other small businesses are willing to refer business to them and vice versa. Because when I have a client, they'll say, "Hey, do you know someone that does this?" Or, "Hey, do you know someone that does that?" Because I meet so many people every day. And it's all about promoting yourself. No one else is going to do it for you.
Yeah, and word of mouth advertising, the networking. Do you do any like business networking, such as chamber of commerces or anything like that, to spread the word?
Honestly, I think that in our business, it's probably, in my honest and professional opinion, would be it's a waste of money. I mean, to spend $500 in, I guess, royalties or whatever it is a year to just say you're a part of something, like the Better Business Bureau, for instance. I mean, it's ridiculous. I can't see myself. I'd rather put that $500 into maybe doing leaflets or maybe doing a special on, I don't know, maybe putting it to my AdWords accounts or something. But I think I'd get more business and more response from that than being on the BBB or being on the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, every area is different. Around here, there's only two computer repair shops in the chamber that I'm involved with. But it just gets you free advertising, basically. You get a write-up in the paper, and you get a ribbon cutting and things like that whenever you change your location or anything like that. And this turns into, you know, stuff that you'd actually have to pay a lot of money for in the newspaper here.
It's funny because print media, I was interested in advertising in a local newspaper. I called at least three. Austin has like three or four little, or one large newspaper and three other little small print media. And I called every single one of them, and the prices were just outrageous. I could not see myself spending that much money to get so little coverage. People are online now. People are spending more time on mobile devices, on tablet PCs or tablet computers, on their laptops, at work, on the internet. So I just can't see myself putting that money towards the newspaper when you can do it so much more online using AdWords, using Bing and Yahoo, using Yelp, which I've gotten tons of business from.
Have you Yelp's helped quite a bit, huh? I started a Yelp account, and I kind of helped out a friend of mine, and he kind of helped me out back, and then I think both of our helps got knocked off because they were onto us. Now, do you approach your customers to tell them, or do you have it on your business card to tell them to go to Yelp and put up some referrals or some words of comments about your business?
Yeah, if you actually go to our site and go to, let's see, client testimonials, you'll see that we have our Facebook page, our Twitter. I thought we had our Twitter. Oh, well, I have my Facebook, my Yelp, my Google Places, all my different personal client reviews that have sent me, you know, quick, "Hey, Eric, thanks for your help," on via email, and people that have responded on Yelp and on Google Places and on Facebook. But people love to see that. People love to see that you are reviewed, that you do have a positive feedback from your clients. And believe me, clients have asked me, "Well, send me a couple of reviews over," and I'll just send them to my site and say, "Check it out there." But
yeah, there you go. Yeah. How about Angie's List? Have you heard anything on that from any of your customers on those?
Don't even get me started with Angie's List, man. I'm so upset with them. They're,
oh, no. Sorry.
It's a joke. It's I don't want to get sued, but I wouldn't be on Angie's List. I'm not gonna be a part of that. But I don't know. I've heard some people it works for them, but I know that they're also spending a lot of money just to be there, and I don't see how a good review from a made-up review would help them, but I guess so. So it's each their own.
Yeah, I've never had a review on Angie's List either. I don't even know if I know of anybody who uses it to give reviews about places they go to. You know, there's so many places that do it for free. I don't understand how they're even around.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have some more things that you wanted to bring up tonight?
Well, we've went over AdWords. I've went over SEO. The last thing I wanted to talk about was, which took me forever on my business, was getting it organized. I mean, at least the first, I'm not going to lie, the first 2 years were just made up invoices, and not made up, but you know, something I kind of built in Word and Microsoft Word, and took me 10 minutes to do. And it just looked so cheesy and so made up. And clients, it can kind of get that look on their face where it's like, is this guy a legitimate business? So what I want to tell everybody is get organized. You know, it's going to take you $30-$40 to buy maybe 500 invoices that have, let me see if I have one around here, that maybe have your logo, something like, you know, I don't want to show here, but you know, something with your logo that has a carbonless copy on there that you can tear off and leave for your customer, that has your warranty information, that has your release in the back of it, your pricing. Just look more professional, because if they didn't find you on Craigslist, I would expect that they want to see that. And I offer that on my site, and I offer that on my on my invoices as well. So get organized is what I want to tell everybody, at least the tip I can give.
Yeah, that helps a lot. Did you come up with all of your policies and guarantees and stuff yourself, or did you go somewhere to find help when you came up with all of that?
Well, I'm not a law student, I'm not a lawyer, so I couldn't just start making up a policy that I was gonna go by. I went on Google. The first thing I did was just type in a search for a release of liability. And I found other computer repair shops of what they were doing. And I actually spoke with a client who is an attorney here in Austin. I said, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. This is what I wrote up. Can you revise it? And maybe we can swap services, or maybe I can do some work for you, or, you know, I could pay up front or whatever. But yeah, I had an attorney look over everything, man. He liked it. He made some revisions, and I ended up spending like an hour on site fixing up his router, doing some other stuff for him. So,
yeah, that's great. Bartering to get a little bit of help there, man. That's the way it should be. I really like that kind of stuff.
We have access to different clients. I mean, if you're servicing 3 to 6 different, you know, residential or business clients a day, you're going to know a lot of people just being and having shop open for 340 days out of the year, if you're like me. But you're going to start to know a lot of people, and you're going to start networking. You're going to give them a lot of cards. You're going to tell them to refer you, which, by the way, I have a referral bonus of $25, and people love that. But yeah, bartering services, it worked out for me.
You got your referral bonus of $25. Now, how do you price your things? Do you do it by the hour? Say if somebody drops off a computer with a virus at the drop-off spot, how do you bill that? Do you have a set price, or?
I would say I maybe have four different services. The first service would be my on-site service, which is by the hour. You're paying for my time. You're paying for my expertise for me to be there and diagnose and troubleshoot and resolve the issue for you, whether you're a residential or business client. I have my flat fee service, which is either you drop your computer off to me, I fix it, or I pick it up from you, and I fix it and tackle on a trip fee. And then I have little small services in there, like data backup for X amount of dollars, and a system reload, which takes a little longer, so I'll have a reload fee on there or something like that. But all my prices should be on my site. I'm not sure if they are. I'm looking now. But the different service options I have, from on-site service to remote support to drop-off and IT for business, all explains the different kinds of services I offer. And I don't think it has the pricing on there, though. Maybe I should add that.
Yeah, I just know that there's a big difference between that. I'm in a small town and you're in a larger town. But I think even though you've got more computer repair businesses up there, I think the pricing, you're probably still a little higher than the small towns. But then also, you know, you know that you're not getting a pizza guy either by having a little higher prices than the next guy, too. I didn't know how you felt about that and how you went about getting your prices where they're at.
Yeah, so you do your market research. Obviously, it's going to be different for everybody, depending on where you live and if you live in a metropolitan area or if it's a small city. But do your market research. Pick up the phone, do a Google search for computer repair in your area, and see what other people are charging. And kind of base yourself off of that. You know, don't solely go on, well, so-and-so is charging this much money. Maybe I should do the same. Also, are they qualified to fix your computer? Are they certified technicians? Are they... what kind of expertise, what kind of background do they have? And that's something that I kind of explain to my clients, that when you call me, yes, you're going to pay for residential $75 an hour and for business $125 an hour, but you're getting somebody that is day in and day out in this industry. I've been in this industry for 8 years. I have 2-level certifications, and I'm in school for computer science major and software engineering. So if you want to call someone off Craigslist, which I advertise on, go right ahead. But I kind of justify my prices that way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you could get anybody on Craigslist or even in any town. You know, you don't know what you're getting. If you got some certifications behind you, you definitely should expect a little more than any average Joe who's swapping out a hard drive for somebody.
And it's not just certifications. It's really the background. You got to see, you know, how long has this person been doing it? Are they, you know, how many hours they put in a day? How much time have they been in business? You got to tell your clients, you got to assure them that, hey, when you're getting your computer fixed by me, you know that it's in good hands. And I tell every one of my clients that.
Yeah, I think something that Steve D came up with, he said on the last Podnuts Daily, was don't lose your customers' data. And that hasn't stopped ringing through my head ever since I heard him say that. And it's just amazing how many people come to me with something that they've taken, you know, like to Best Buy, and Best Buy has said, there's, you know, it's gone, you know, and I can't say that I'm the biggest Einstein in the world, but maybe I have some tools they don't, but I can usually get a lot of their stuff back for them.
There's different levels of data recovery. You know, you have top level where something that's not completely gone, and something as simple as pulling the drive and setting it up on an external USB adapter, you can extract data that way. And I've gotten Best Buy jobs where people were like, yeah, you know, they're going to charge me $800 to recover my data. And I'm like, it took me 30 minutes, $100 later, you're happy. I've gotten a new client. Don't waste your time. Come back to me next time. So
yeah,
their failure kind of helped me out, but
oh, that their failure helps me out all the time. Do you have anybody that you use for, like, say you need to send away a hard drive, or do you know of any shops or anything around your area that takes care of that kind of thing, where they would have a clean room and have to go in and physically fix things like that? Or haven't you gotten into any of that yet?
Normally, when I've gotten to that point, I will refer them over to a shop here in town. We'll have a deal where any referrals kind of helps me out as well. But more so, I actually have a pretty good deal with Flash Drive Pros. If you look up their website, I think it's flashdrivepros.net or .com, but they actually work exclusively on flash drives, which for some reason I get more calls on data recovery from flash drives. I guess because I live next to three different colleges or in the area that I live in, but kids are saving, people are saving their data on flash drives, and you know they're pulling the flash drive out, and lo and behold, it's data's gone, and these guys have been pretty much amazing with getting data recovered, at least for me.
Huh? See, I've never had a call for that yet on myself, honestly.
I've got at least six. I'd say at least six in the past 3 months. So
neat. Okay, yeah. That's good to know.
The very first time I got a call, I didn't know who to go to. I didn't know who to call. I simply did a Google search on these guys. I found them. I got on the phone with them. 20 minutes into the conversation, the guy's like, yeah, man, just send it over to me. Even if they can fix it, it doesn't charge you any money. Your client waits 3-4 days for it to get back to them. So it's a pretty sweet deal for everybody. And if you want to sell their services, there's an affiliate program. So you got to check them out if you get any calls for that kind of service.
Yeah, that sounds good. Good tip.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to bring up tonight that we haven't covered yet?
No, I think we've gone over pretty much everything I wanted to talk about, unless you guys had any questions or...
Steve, did you have any questions that you can think of for Eric?
No, sounded great. Very informative.
Yeah, it's been great. A lot of information to go over, especially, and they really got me thinking about my website and how horrible. well, I don't know. It works good for my area. I don't have a whole lot of competition. I think I've shown my competition before, and it's not too bad. But yeah, it's definitely something that we should all be looking at more.
Totally. Eric, your site looks good, man. I mean, I like it. It's clean. It's concise. You first page, first glance, you have your phone number up top. You have your prices. I mean, you have your call to action, which is either email me now or pick up the phone. I think that if it works for you, use it. The only reason why I used a WordPress site was I thought that I was going to be posting a lot of information for my viewers. So what you have going on, man, it looks good. I like it.
Where'd you get that, thanks, Eric?
I got that at the Tech Site Builder, which is part of, you can buy right off here on PodNuts. And honestly, it's worked really good for me. I just, I sometimes, especially when I'm on the podcast, I like to, you know, people say siliconwrench.com, you know, I'd like to have something a little different to look at there every now and then when people go there, you know, so add some content to it sometime.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, wouldn't it be awesome if Eric S. said, yeah, Eric, your site's really bad. And then, not knowing that it was the Tech Site Builder, but no, we have an update coming up. So, anyway, go. What were you going to say, Eric S?
No, with all honesty, it looks good. I like the fact that you have, again, you have that call to action. You have your phone number in large, bright white font, and it immediately makes me want to either send you an email or pick up the phone and call you. So, if it works for you, keep using it, man.
Yeah, and it ranks good actually without having. A lot of links. It ranks really good on Google, but like I'm a small town, it works good for here.
Nice. I'm actually going through the source code right now as we were talking about that. So
Don't look at that. That's a mess. It's behind the curtain.
No, it looks good. Everything looks in order.
Cool. You are Eric.
We've got one question in the chat room.
Sure.
Wanting to know if uses Yellow Pages at all. As for advertising?
Personally, I don't. If they're talking about Yellow Pages, YP.com, then yes, I would say it's good if you get it at a good rate, which the rate always changes depending on the representative you speak with. But if you get it at a good rate, YP.com can and would be good for you because people are on mobile devices and there's a YP.com app and a lot of people use it. But to be in the physical phone book, I think people use that more for like Firewood or something. I don't know anybody else that advertises in the phone book.
I agree. And I would have to say I don't advertise in the phone book, but I do get calls from the phone book just having my, I think I get a free ad in the Yellow Pages part along with my business, just like a business directory. But I do get calls from the phone book from elderly people, you know, people in the high rises. And when their internet's down, that's what they grab.
Yeah. I've sort of catered to, you know, YP.com. Would, in my opinion, if I had to choose between one or the other, I would just pick, in my opinion, YP.com because of the mobile access and of the amount of traffic it gets. So yeah. You might want to speak with whoever you're buying it from, though.
When I first started up, I bought an ad in a Yellow Pages in a different town that I was getting a lot of business out of that town. And I honestly say for the money I spent, I got no return on spending an ad in the physical Yellow Pages in that one.
Ouch. That's something we'll learn as we're going along and trying these different advertising and marketing avenues. There's so much available. There's online, there's prints, there's if you have the money to do a commercial. I know that New to You PC has a commercial on, so that, I thought that was pretty neat and awesome. But if you can get it at a good rate, if you're going to get a lot of coverage from it, it is definitely justified and you should do it. I think it's better to take the risk and say, oh, well, it didn't work than rather not take the risk and never expand out. So
yeah. It's kind of nice to listen to podcasts like this where people, where we can give our experiences in some of these marketing areas. So you don't have to be the guinea pig and go out and spend some money and don't get any return on it. You know, you can listen to what works with other people. And maybe there's somebody who's in a similar situation as you were when you were starting out. And then, well, it worked for them and maybe it'll work for you too. But at least that way you get some idea of how things have worked for others.
Yeah. The best thing I can say is, Do your market research, pick up the phone, see what other guys are doing in the area, and try and do it better than them. That's the trick to it.
Yeah.
Cool.
But
all right, Eric, you want to wrap it up? Eric A.
Thanks a lot, Eric S, for being such a wonderful guest tonight. It was very comforting for me, being my first time hosting on here, to have somebody with a lot of information to give us. That helped out a lot. And I personally learned a lot just sitting here asking some questions and basically asking the questions that I wanted to know. I hope everybody else wanted to hear the same things. You know, going off of what you were saying, I just listened to this kind of, I learned stuff. I'd like to let everybody know I use the TechSite Builder and give that a try. I've also, when I very first started, I bought the laptop repair videos from Podnuts, and they give those a try too if you're just starting out. A lot of these resources are just going to help you. And a lot of times you're not going to be as confident doing things yourself for the first time. So to have a laptop repair video before you've ever cracked open a laptop or you get past that point and you're ready to start a business and you want a website and you don't know how to do it, the stuff makes it so much easier. And keep listening to podcasts and Podnuts, just to the easy information. You don't have to read books. You can learn all this stuff just by listening.
No, I agree. Absolutely. The different tools that Podnuts provides, at least with the tech builder, the tech site, and the chat room, is very useful and it's helped me a lot. A lot of contributors, a lot of useful information, and I've been able to provide what I know on there as well. So it works out.
Yeah, thank you for your contributions there, Eric. That's one thing I don't do enough is spend time in the chat room. I don't type as well as I do talk, I think.
If anybody wants to find the Podnuts chat room, it's actually, he's talking actually about the lounge at podnuts.com/lounge. Check it out. We have an IRC there that's, it's been there for a long time, actually. And the TeamSpeak gets a lot of the publicity as of late, but there is a chat room there and there's people in it like Eric and Highlander and other guys. So go check it out. And it's at podnuts.com/lounge. You can't miss it on the front page there. Cool. So, Eric S., is there any last comments or anything you would like to say or plug or promote before we end off?
Just, you know, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it again. The Podnuts community has helped me out a lot. And I look forward to contributing more on here and being on the chat. And if you ever guys want to have me back on, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Sweet. I appreciate it. It was a good show.
Awesome.
Eric, I'll turn it back over to you. You could end off officially. Anything you want to say.
I just also want to say that you can find Eric S. at itconflict.com. Check out his website there. If you don't know what your website's going to look like, man, this is a great one to look at and see all the stuff he has going on. You can find me at siliconwrench.com and on Google Plus at Eric Ardini or Silicon Wrench. And I just want to thank everybody for listening tonight.
That's it for Podnuts Daily for this week. See you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily brought to you by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.